Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
So it's been 8 episodes, and we kind of finished off, well, not kind of, we did finish off what I think is the most linear story of 40K, the Horus Heresy.
It's the basis story. Yeah. It is the creation story of 40K, and I believe that 100% that's how I got into the game.
Yeah.
I read the history of the Horus Heresy. That is the basis of the game, and now it's about to go freestyle.
Now we get to go freestyle. This is the part I think Brad and I have been more excited to get to. We had to tell the original story because we didn't want to fill every podcast with, and spoiler alert. So now we get to actually branch out and decided to go kind of the most extreme. We went from what I would call the most heavily canon, which is the Horus Heresy. Every book written for 30 years has it in
this
it.
This is all well, 99%. Yeah.
To now the term I like is esoteric lore. The old ones, where we're going to talk about something where, I mean,
I'm not even sure what's canon anymore.
That's the point. Is it so out of the blue? And a lot of this, what we're going to have happen now to our listeners is we're going to use stuff that's in the books, that's in mostly codexes for old ones.
It's small references, though. There's not just a codex old ones because it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
There's not a novel about the old ones. The old ones are only referenced in other people's stories.
Exactly.
They are the back characters in other people's storylines. They've been referenced in a decent amount of Necron novels.
Yeah, Necron's an easy one.
Yeah, Necron Codex.
Yeah.
Eldar.
Yeah.
Orcs, of course.
Yeah.
But they're never the main character. They're these guys that did some stuff in the old times. And when we say old times, this is 65 million years ago.
Yep. I think this will be a lot more fun. What we were doing before was kind of almost telling you guys a story that was written down. We were like rereading you Tolkien. And now we're getting to
now party. John and I are going to argue.
Yeah, we're going to argue a lot around this.
It's also, there's been a lot of what now could be considered fan fiction because it's a lot of people that used to work for GW.
That's what I was about to get to. Is we are, don't worry, we're going to be touching on certain invading species from certain outside of galaxies that may have certain resemblances to certain things.
That is serious fan fiction.
Which is pure fan fiction, but, you know, the truth is, I also, when we talk about fan fiction, we should remember, we're not talking about fact here. So if enough fans believe it, almost like a Tinkerbell type scenario here.
Orcs, which we'll be doing next.
Soon, this could become canon. So I tell everyone, this bit's going to be a bit of fun. Also, I wrote a little spoiler alert to myself here. Remind everyone, this is going to be a discussion about the origins of the universe, according to about half a dozen people who live in Nottingham, England. That's who wrote this. So,
which is also the people that don't work there anymore.
So yeah, it's also most of them don't work there anymore, and some of them are dead. But downside of a 40-year-old game, some of the original writers were not.
Well, let's rock on this and go the biggest question, which we're immediately going to argue about. Who the hell are the
Who are the old ones? Let's jump into this. Who are the old ones? So they are described in the books that I've read as lizard men, which I immediately both thanked and hated GW for reinforcing my History Channel Ancient Aliens show.
Just all the lizard people.
It's all the lizard people. Here we go.
And the biggest thing on this is that you have to go in the myth of we're the fantasy. Mm-hmm. Give me the old, all you old fantasy players, if there's anybody left out there.
There's a ton of you left. And you all bitch constantly about Sigmar.
You're welcome. Give me my square bases back. Movement trace for life. But one of the big things is that they, in that lore, they supposedly created the Slann, the lizardmen leaders. The Slann were the leaders, the spiritual and magic leaders of the lizardmen in their own image. So were the old ones lizard men? Well, maybe.
I think it's the most canon version of them is them being lizard men. But again,
I don't even think they're lizard men. I think they're the Slann version. Because you look at the Slann, and the Slann are wildly different than lizard men.
That's true. I think they're more reptilian, maybe than lizard men. It's more of somewhat reptilian.
Yeah.
One important piece here is they were not gods, and we're going to get to that in a second because it does come up in some of the things they do bounce into.
But
there we go.
I mean, okay, John. This is where we detour right away. We disagree.
That's a party. Yep.
So let's talk about what the old ones could do, and then everyone can make their decision on whether they're gods. First off, they created life out of nothing. Well,
they do and they don't. This is the part that I was going to get to. This
biologists, engineers.
They were, but this life. This is where it gets annoying. If you read some of the codexes, they shepherded life to encourage things. But other ones, like the Jokero, I don't know, maybe they found one orangutan and decided
just to made it.
Yeah, it is.
Did they rocket the raccoon? Everybody. Yeah, so the thing is
that's why this is so much fun. It's like, I don't
know. The big thing is that, well, we're going to pull back just a second.
Yeah.
One, let's go to this time and place in the warp. This is a big deal.
There's no
big,
warp, but there no, is.
But there is.
Yeah.
The warp is a flat, crystal clear lake.
Yep.
There's no chaos gods. There's just, and the old ones are tapping into the warp to do whatever they want. And it is a calm, serene pond. No waves whatsoever.
Exactly.
And they are literally doing, they're Bob Rossing it. They're painting a happy, happy new species on it.
We're going to make there's a little happy tree over here. We're going to build out the world. But let's just focus on what they were. And so what they were was possibly reptilian. The first sentient beings the first successful sentient beings in the galaxy.
The first
sort of
civilization,
mm-hmm.
because you have different, I mean, yeah, dinosaurs.
Yeah, I mean, it predates, we get that. So just for everyone's reference, we're talking 65 million years because I have a child, so I have to know these things. Dinosaurs date to 250 million years. So we're not talking like Big Bang Dawn of the world.
We don't know how long Catan, Catan, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Catans in a second.
And they are immortal. Mm-hmm. Well, in the old ones are, were they immortal? Did they could die, of course. Yeah.
So let's actually let's just get in trouble. Let's just make decisions here. So one of the things I wrote down was, were the old ones immortal?
They lived long enough where people thought they were immortal because they lived longer than anybody knew. Right.
But that was my thought. I don't think they're immortal, and because it actually a better word is perpetuals. So we've discussed perpetuals before.
No, they're
definitely not perpetuals.
No, they can. If you shoot them in the head, yeah. They're super dead.
They go away. So the question is, were they immortal or were they just so long lived that they were effectively immortal and immune to most problems?
Because I think that they conquered most of the stuff with their magic / biology technology, because they were like elves elves in mythology. They didn't have high-tech spaceships with that, but they had mixed technology.
Yeah, Tolkien and magic. Elves were like, they weren't immortal, because even Tolkien elves eventually did die, but it was thousands.
Yeah, but they're not going to die to the cold. They're not,
yeah, exactly.
They're not getting cancer. They cure that immediately.
And they also had a weird, I think, because you were talking about the warp earlier, and I interrupted you because I wanted to do this in order. So they're not immortal, but they can live forever. But they're kind of, their great trick was the warp. They were, from history, the first creatures to be able to manipulate the warp.
They were the first people to know that the warp existed, period.
But it's not the warp of today or the 40 of 40.
No, it is just a endless power. It is a sea of power. It is just how about this? I'm going even farther. It's an ocean of power. Upgraded every time. But the thing is that, again, it's serene. There isn't the eddies. It isn't this turbulent storm that the warp is now full of hazards and everything. This is nothing. But there's nothing to put it there yet.
Because it hasn't been fed yet. I mean, we're getting to this stage at 65 million years. I'm going to use the Earth. We are in the Cretaceous period where we have T-Rexes are trying to eat. I'm going to make my kid, if he listens to me, so happy. We have a T-Rex trying to munch on
Ankylosaur. for sure.
It was definitely Ankylosaurus, Sora, Pelta. I mean, we can go hard here if you want. All different versions of Hadrosaurus. That's what's ruling the Earth right now. And throughout the galaxy, it's kind of the themes of the galaxy. The Eldar are probably at this stage a fledgling race at 65 million years. They're coming up slowly because they were more brought up during the War in Heaven. There's not a lot out
there. Also, again, were they completely made by the old ones or not?
We're going to get there. But what I'm saying is like the warps now hasn't been fed with
at all. Yes.
Any of the, there's no lust. There's no murder. I mean, sure, animals eat each other, but it's not the same as.
But like, it's not a psychological imprint.
Exactly. Yeah. Because the warp's not like corn is not fed by a fish eating another fish.
It's the emotion.
He's fed by, I want to kill that fish. It is bloodlust effectively. So the warp is safe. However, the interesting thing about that is the old ones seem to understand the warp was not a great thing because they built the webway gates to get around it.
True.
So they knew.
Well, I think they wanted to not corrupt it. That's the thing.
So they
there's a serene ocean, mm-hmm. and they want to get around it without polluting because they're also were they literally eco-friendly?
There we go. They're vegan.
God damn it. No wonder they died.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, yeah, just iron deficiency.
But it's a big thing on this because they created. Well, let's talk about the things that the old ones did.
Yeah.
One, their biggest, well, besides creating several of the 40K species,
yep.
They created the webway gates, which are a safe and fast means to travel the entire galaxy, which is between the warp and real space.
Yeah, it's a weird.
It's the half.
Third
option. What, are we going to do the Stranger Things? It's the upside down. It's the space between it.
But then at the same time, they also did seem to want to uplift civilizations. We're going to get to one of them in a little bit that they decided to pseudo uplift and then bail on. But they did. They were looking around for civilizations. They were looking for who was good and who was bad. They kind of helped some up and others not. One of the, you know, obviously mankind was in there, but they were pretty fledgling. They saw a potential there. And some of the books kind of hint that they may have helped with some of the movements evolutionarily for mankind.
Well, the big ones, let's just go to the two bigs. Eldar, orcs.
Well, orcs were later.
Yeah, but
initially it was just Eldar.
I'm saying, but like as far as ones they did, period, canon, this isn't
Eldar and orcs are them.
Yep. Eldar and orcs, and we don't know if, did they engineer an existing race or did they create a race?
This is the question mark.
And to be honest with you, if I was going to go to my Vegas betting odds, mm-hmm. I think they engineered Eldar and I think they made orcs.
Yeah, I
orcs are a genetic, like, just you made
it. There's something weird about orcs.
Yeah, because orcs, which we'll get into, orcs are spores.
orcs are like, we're going to do minimum 3 episodes on orcs, and I'm saying minimum.
But that's an engineered race.
Yeah.
I feel like they made that race. I feel like they uplifted.
Yeah, I think Eldar were uplifted. I think mankind, they were probably starting to uplift before certain things went wrong, which we're going to get to in a short while here. Now, let's go to things they didn't do well. The first one we're going to talk about is Necrons.
Well, the Necron tier. Come on, be specific with them now, because they're still the Necron tier.
That's true. This point is Necron tier. So while the old ones are doing this, as we've said, they uplifted the orcs, mankind. There are races all over the galaxy.
Well, let's talk about the Necron tier. Necron tier were a dominant race at the time. Mm-hmm. The Necron tier were from and a lot of people don't realize this. They're like, why? Who cares that their home world was bombarded with radiation? And this is why you have to care, because the Necron tier home world was so radiated that it actually changed the core DNA of the Necron tier, mm-hmm. and they were all genetically predisposed to die from effectively weird radiation sickness.
Exactly. And the challenge of the Necron tier is, one thing is, we talk about travel, and we talked about, we've used the word travel a lot if you look listen to our podcast, because we both like logistics. The Necron tier were this pretty aggressive, warring race that was conquering the stars, but they had to do them piece by piece because they had no access to the warp.
They were also
no access to the webway.
They were literally flying at faster than light travel, but just
faster.
They were crazy people about that though. Mm-hmm. They would send generations to go war with somebody.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, your grandchildren's grandchildren will be fighting this war. And people were like, I'm in.
Yep. And so they're expanding. And this is where kind of like, this is where I like the old ones a lot. The old ones are sitting there in some ways running a galaxy, but not really running a galaxy. They're the biggest player in the galaxy. They've got the most power in the galaxy. But the challenge the old ones have is they're not that numerous. Like they're not a...
They're also completely unprepared because I think that they're... While the old ones did a lot of great things, I think the old ones eventually died to their own vanity.
Yeah. And and this goes into the problem with the Necrons. The Necrons are a reproducing race who are...
At the time, yes. Who are
quite numerous. And they start just creating problems for the old ones. They're creating issues. And finally...
They're also... You're going back to the Necron tier because this makes a big deal with
the Necron tier because it does make
No, I'm saying, but it makes a big difference in how this next negotiation works out because every single people, I just got into an argument this morning about this. Pajama pants are still wrong, but the Necron tier effectively genocided everyone they met.
Yeah.
It, literally, they showed somebody up and went, we could talk to them or
nice planet you got here.
Yeah. We could just take everything.
Looks like it's mine now.
Yeah. Be a real bummer if everyone died.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
Yeah. So like every single interaction they've had was a just slaughter fest. And the old ones are, they're not omniscient, but it feels like they have a network of, we know kind of everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. So they know that this is going on. They also, again, have instantaneous travel throughout the galaxy. This is a webway gate at peak efficiency.
Yeah, this is not 41st millennium webway
gate. This is not the busted ass
point A and I arrive in point B a quarter second later.
Yeah, like it's nothing. They were instantly everywhere.
Yeah.
So they were going everywhere. They kind of knew everything based on the fact that they could cheat and be anywhere they wanted to be. So they know that the Necron tier, while advanced race. By the way, their technology is nuts at this point in time.
Oh, I mean, and what my question is, and I've done my research, but I default to you on this one because you've been on more conversations than I have. I don't see anywhere where the old ones uplifted Necron tier.
No.
It looks like Necron tier did it all on their own.
It's all on their own. They also have, if you give the Necron tier credit, they have technology that still has not been matched by anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just Gauss, the teleportation technology. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of things the Necrons have right now. The reanimation, they have way better nanotechnology. They have better stuff than FTC's. Yeah, their
objective controlled scarabs were a big hit for a while.
They could have done a better job than the Imperium does with just raising an entire civilization out of nothing.
Yeah.
But they
were poisoned.
Yeah.
They're genetically poisoned. And this is kind of where what I was asking earlier about the old ones ever uplifting them is the Necron tier do have this problem. They actually have a very short lifespan compared to anything else in the galaxy because they're basically poisoned from birth.
Yep.
And die a horrible death.
Yeah. It's just that their DNA literally says you are radiation poisoned at birth.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Yeah. And they had tech. They had wild tech. But also their civilization is really based on war tech, though.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that everything in their civilization is based on, I need to get from point A to point B to kill something. And if your technology doesn't advance that, we kind of don't care about it.
The Necron tier reach a point where they keep bouncing into the old ones. And they notice an interesting thing about the old ones. They seem to be immortal to them. They're never sick. Every interaction, they look healthy. They look happy. They're doing
and it's the same ones.
Yeah.
I mean, effectively, the individual old ones, there's not that many, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, it never seems like they're very populous at all.
No. And I think it's actually one of the big problems that the old ones had is, for whatever reason, they did not populate.
Yeah.
And it will backfire horribly.
So, the Necron tier literally hold them as, like, there's a trio of old ones because we meet the same guy for generations. And they clearly probably have the answer. And to be perfectly honest, to be fair, they do.
They do. The old ones could 100% have helped.
Well, the problem is they also tell them that.
Yeah.
So the Necron tier
goes. Which is a great dick move, by the way. Yeah, oh, totally.
You could have just lied and said, no, we can't help you.
Yeah.
But the old ones, the Necrotier go to the old ones and go, hey, we've got this problem. Literally, we die at, we have a death sentence at birth.
Yeah.
And can you help us? And the old ones go, yeah, that seems super easy. And they're like, are you going to help us? Nope.
Nope.
And the Necrotier, I mean, to their credit, get real mad about that.
Yeah, they don't take that well, which, again, I'm not going to criticize them for. Of like, hey, super benevolent race that's helping everyone else out. Can you help us out? No. Now, Brad and I were to discuss this earlier on why the old ones didn't help out the Necrotier. And Brad, I liked your take on this.
It's a big thing because I feel that the old ones saw that if they uplifted the Necrotier, that the Necrotier would now have their only shortcoming taken away, and they were already a plague on the galaxy to the old ones. And then you take that away, now you have a mortal Necrotier effectively just destroying the galaxy forever.
Yeah. And so they didn't give it to him. So the Necrotier decide, well, screw you and your stupid technology. I'm going to kill you. Problem for them is, Brad was right, their weapons are incredible. They're built for war, and they're about to wage a war that, with someone who can move anywhere in the galaxy in an instant, has warp weapons that you've, warp powers you've never even encountered before.
You don't even know exist.
You don't even know exist. And it's not even a competition. I mean, the old ones just run through them.
They get smoked. I mean, every battle is like laughable. They disintegrate ships. I mean, it's just...
It's like it's nothing.
It's colossal.
But the interesting thing about the old ones is they don't wipe out the Necrotier. They just push him back.
No, they just repel. They don't even just, they don't attack him ever.
They pushed him back.
When they fight, they win, and that's it.
Yep. And the Necrotier find themselves, though, in just a small corner of the galaxy, still being irradiated.
And real mad.
Oh, so angry.
Like,
oh, so angry.
I'm going to go super specific on this, and no one will know this. They go, Steven Erikson levels of man, Talana Moss, man. Someone look that up for me.
Stop making references that predate digital text.
These are old books, by the way.
These are books that are written in typewriters. So the Necrotier run into a problem, and the problem they run into is they just lost horribly.
They got beat 80-3.
Yeah, I mean, there's no fight here. And
well, they... Here's the thing, and this is glossed over because even in the codex and stuff, they act like this. They act like the old ones beat them. Cool. Then they met the Catan. Nope. They effectively started studying their son specifically.
Yep.
But they notice that something's going on in that, and they find out that there's star gods. There's entities in that.
One of the things I read, these are all codexes, was this: they noticed their son was dying. And they thought, so this has been rewritten. So depending on which Necron Codex you go into,
the Catan is literally eating the sun.
And so we'll take a quick left turn into what a Catan is. So first of all, it's pronounced Catan or Catan.
Who cares?
I don't care. You guys pick it up. Whichever I'm doing wrong, I'm sorry. They predate the old ones. These are actually Catans, from what my understanding is, they are an entity that just absorbs energy. That's what they do. That's their fuel source. And so we don't know how many of them there are, but yes, they don't seem to like each other very much, and they're super independent. So the Necrons...
They're also immortal entities that have been around since
the dawn of the galaxy. So these things predate everything. And the Necrons, there's about three different stories here and how the Necrons meet them. Story number one is... The lazy one of like, we looked at our sun and there was something in our sun.
Yeah, but the other one was we spent almost 1,000 years trying to communicate with them. And I actually like that story quite a bit because they're so angry and they need some way to fight back that they are literally yelling at a star.
One of the other stories I like, though, was that they were so angry at the old ones that their anger triggered the Catans to say, hey, this looks interesting, and kind of went, hey, tell me what's up. And the reason why the fun little bit of the retcon here that GW has done around Necrons is all of the stuff that we know about the interaction between the C-Tan and the Necron tier comes from their interaction with a very specific C-Tan, whose nickname is
the Deceiver.
So there you go, everybody.
How did your negotiations go with the Deceiver?
Yeah, our entire history of the C-Tan comes from the Deceiver.
Who, by the way, engineered himself to get a body.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, actually.
To meet the Necrons. But also, it's not like he just did that. He actually avatars himself out.
Yeah.
And goes, meets with a whole bunch of them. And kind of figures out that the Silent King, who will be the Silent King, has the most pull, but is also effectively the most angry and is willing to do anything. This is like any of those, I make a deal with the devil, you should probably read the small print.
Oh, yeah. Well, they didn't realize his name was the Deceiver.
Yeah. You're like, hey, man, who are you negotiating with again? The Deceiver? This should all go well.
Yeah, this is going to go great. So according to the Deceiver, and this is, again, I'm going
to
keep...
I like that you said, according to the Deceiver.
Because it's an important caveat here. Now, the downside of this whole thing is we don't have an alternative history. So we've got the story from the Deceiver and nothing. Those are our two choices. So we're going with what the Deceiver says is that the old ones and it actually fought the C-Tan a long time ago. At some point, maybe.
Like at the beginning of time kind of thing.
And the old ones beat them down pretty badly because this is going to be an important piece later. The old ones had mastery of the warp. The C-Tan don't. So the C-Tan and the Necron tier make a really good alliance because they both have a similar problem. They hate the same person, the old ones.
And they have the same problem.
Yeah, they can't fight through the warp. So what are we going to do together? We're going to team up.
In one of the worst negotiations of all time, you give me an endless supply of your souls for me to lunch on.
And we are going to do a Necron episode. So some of the stuff, those of you who are big Necron fans.
Sorry, Necron fans.
We're not skipping over this forever. We're just trying to get to a point. Yeah. So we're going to come back.
It is a pretty shit deal, though.
It is shit. What I'm saying is, but we're going to skip some of the elements of this.
And to be honest, we will go on to it with a Necron episode. Yeah, but like hard. The nobles are pretty complicit on the fact that everybody except for the nobles is effectively going to be a buffet for the Catan.
Yeah. So what the Catan realized, I'm going to keep going Catan, C-Tan. That way when I edit this, I can't make a choice. So y'all are just going to deal with this. Sorry. I grew up in a place with heavy accents, so we're going to mess around.
I actually have no idea what it is
either. I don't either. So I'm just going to keep bouncing back and forth. So I'm right part of the time.
We'll be right back after a quick break. It's time to accept it. Holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
So the challenge is that the Catan, as we've said, or the C-Tan, feed on the energy of stars. They tend to latch onto a star and they just eat it until the star dies. And then they have them go to another star. Luckily, they're in the Milky Way. There's a lot of stars. But they almost, this is a nice homage to the warp entities later, discover that actually feasting on the souls
is way better.
It's so much
more efficient too.
Yeah, these guys are going from like, you know, shitty ground beef to filet mignon. Yeah. Like we're going. We're
they
going
juice up. Like
yeah, we're
pretty
going hard.
Hard
here.
And also, there's a lot of Necrontyr.
There are, and so this is actually going to win for them. So that they convince the Necrontyr that they can. This, I mean, it's
well, let's funny. Talk about what they do though, because this is a big deal.
Well, I was thinking about the last episode or one episode before we talked about the deals that the traders made with the Chaos Gods, where it's that piece of like, hey, you know, we'll use Nurgle. I don't worry. Give your souls to me, and this plague
won't die.
You won't die. You're struggling on this plague, but you won't die. The C-10 offer up the Necrontyr. We will give you the immortality you've always wanted. We will remove it.
You will be immortal.
Immortal.
However, you will be immortal with no soul because C-10 convinced the Necrontyr, who now become the Necrons,
yep,
to transfer their entities, their consciousness,
yep,
into robot bodies. But in the process, unless you're a noble, your soul goes right on the buffet, the lunch buffet.
CJ eats it instead. There is no...
It is delicious.
Yeah, and it's hard. And this is interesting because like, Necrons are neither AI, but they're also not fully self-aware. They're a weird in-between. It's like the nobles are. But the Necron warrior, it's almost the CJ ate half the soul. There's still enough in there that you're trapped.
It's a soulish consciousness, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They took up chunk. You're still in there. But you're not. Yeah. And so this point, this story we'll get to this Necrons is actually pretty cool because they actually effectively build factories where people are walking into the factory for like, ooh, upliftment day, which this has been in numerous sci-fi movies and video games. So you guys are all aware of this, but I'm going into upliftment day and then nope.
You're going to be upgraded. Nah, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
You will live forever. Yes.
And so what happens now is the Necrons become an immortal and actually in some way almost undying force because these robot bodies together can actually do it, but they reanimate.
Well, they have effectively, which is every sci-fi uses, we can't explain something. How does it work? Nanotechnology.
Nothing better than a good sci-fi nanotechnology.
And the big thing about this is, well, go into the gamer version. The Necrons used to just disappear because they have teleportation technology. Mm-hmm. Not only do they have the nanotechnology, but they just reanimate. So mm-hmm. if you kill a Necron, their nanotechnology just rebuilds the Necron. As long as there's even a little piece of them left.
We can make more Necron.
Which we'll go into the Eldar in a minute because they went, we'll just make it so there's not anybody left. So, but they have the ability to basically, if there's a finger of a Necron left, they will rebuild the whole thing. So, and they can also teleport it back to the factory. So they effectively have the emergency eject button on all of their, every single warrior, every single anything, their big platforms, everything they have. If it gets beat up enough, it automatically teleports back. And this doesn't matter. This is how they're so wildly advanced. The distance doesn't matter. They will instantly go back to a factory
to be rebuilt.
And
so what's crazy about this is it means that even though the Necrontyr, they are numerous, don't get me wrong, but they technically don't even have to build a single more unit because everything they've already built is there forever. The Necrons now are teamed up with C-10 and they explode out of their part of the galaxy into the old ones. And as we discussed earlier, the old ones are not that numerous.
Not only are they not that numerous, I think it's two part. Yeah. Sorry to jump all over that, but like I feel like not only, again, we already talked about the fact that the old ones are very few.
Yeah.
Their populace is tiny. I mean, really tiny, by the way. They are super powerful individual entities, but very few of them. And also, I think that they really didn't see this level of FU going on.
Yeah.
Like, this is such a wild leap. And from a race that it's a creator race.
Yep.
And this is I am willing to literally sell my soul to the devil to make this happen. And I feel that the old ones just didn't get that this was an option.
The old ones, I think, were a little bit overconfident in how the galaxy functioned and weren't concerned.
It's vanity. Like I said earlier, I think that their own vanity did them downfall because I feel that they didn't think they've already won every time. But it's not that they won. It would be different if they just were victorious.
Yeah, they never had a problem.
That's what I'm saying. They've never fought a battle where they didn't laughably win.
Yeah, just, okay, yeah, this is
And since the beginning of time, though. Mm-hmm. So if you're literally millions of years in, and every time you've been in a fight, you flick jab somebody and they fell unconscious, well, you're probably not ready for a 12-round knockout brawl.
And they were not ready. So not only do the Necrons just start wiping out sections of the galaxy, they even eventually breach the webway. Because the thing about the Necrons is they can't access the warp, but the webway is not the warp.
And it's also they figure it out because it is technically technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so they because it is a construct.
And now the old ones are, as we said earlier, they are immortal. They are not perpetual. So they begin dying. And this launches into maybe one of the most important parts of 40K, which is what they do next. Two races. One I care more about the other, but I actually do care most about
Let's go to my babies real quick.
We'll do Brad's babies first.
They juice up. They give so many PEDs to the Eldar. They become a race built for speed.
Well, and my opinion was, I think they looked at the Eldar and said, of all the species we've encountered in the world, in the universe, these ones most resemble us with their kindness and their compassion. Wow, were they wrong on that one? We'll get into who.
Well, the thing is, we'll talk about this in the Eldar episode. Mm-hmm. Eldar feel and live everything. It's considered 100 to 1,000 times more than a human.
Yeah.
But they also war 100 to 1,000 times more. They're the first ADHD-focused drug kids in the galaxy, and whatever they do, that's it. That's what they do.
This is what we're going to do. This is my specialty.
And they said, we need you to fight the Necrons because we are getting trucked. And they made and the thing is about this, the Eldar at the time, it becomes something different. The Eldar eventually use the warp to their whole society is psychic. But at the time, their psychics are for war.
Yeah.
They have constructs of war. They only do psychics to defeat the enemy that doesn't have psychic defense. We have to talk about that again. They made a psychic race that is literally made to defeat a non-psychic race. You're like, hey, we don't have the technology to take care of them shooting us. You're like, they don't have any defense against having their minds exploded. Let's make a bunch of people that blow up your mind.
So they throw them out. And the Eldar are this sort of an uplifted race. They already existed. And the idea is again, my opinion. The idea is that the old ones were going to hand the galaxy over to the Eldar. They were their backup plan. It always was their backup plan.
I agree on this 100%. For
whatever was going on, the Eldar were the backup plan. But the thing with the Eldar is, as good as the Eldar are warring, they needed some other things. The next race that they created, one of my favorite.
Pause real quick. They did kind of break the Eldar.
Yeah.
Because I think that the Eldar were supposed to be these poets and philosophers.
And they had to turn them to war. Yeah. And so they took those guys and turned them to war. Yeah. It probably set the Eldar down the path that the Eldar ended down was this maneuver. I think that's a great point. They actually shifted them. The Eldar were set to be poets and beautiful and architects. They were going to be
the architects of the entire galaxy.
The galaxy and make a beautiful galaxy that anyone could live in. And then they flipped the war switch on them. And
they may not have done it on purpose.
64 and a half million years, but
they did break the sky and the warp.
They did, create a new chaos god. So whatever.
And probably things happen.
We're probably feeding the prior ones.
Yeah.
The next one they build is, for those of you who don't know what they are, the Jokero.
Jokero weaponsmiths.
This is something that is awesome. I'm just going to be honest. It's an orangutan effectively.
That can make weapons.
That makes weapons.
Out of his mind.
Out of his mind. Just picks up random pieces and then hands you back the most powerful blaster you've ever seen in this world. They are, from a sci-fi standpoint, so cool.
They literally grab... Yeah. They are the MacGyver.
Yeah, the MacGyver. But like, yeah, but MacGyver meets A-Team meets, like, I don't know, every steroid.
Every G.I. Joe cartoon in the 80s?
It is, yeah, it's true. I mean, they really are. The Jokero are so cool, where you just put them somewhere. And so, side note on Jokero, because I just like them a lot. Mankind in the 41st millennia has a pretty strong feeling about non-mankind races, namely kill all of them. One pretty extreme example is the Jokero. When they find them, oh no, we're hanging out, because the Jokero makes weapons no one's ever seen before, and they just do it while bored. Like,
that's true. By the time the 41st millennium comes along, they just go, yeah, here, you can have what you want. I'll just give it to you.
And so I really recommend all of you look up Jokero. We will do an episode on Jokero, but they're cool as hell. Just look them up. The next one that they make, though, is
The perfect being.
They have a problem. The Eldar are good. The Eldar can fight. The Eldar can do these things. But as Brett said, they were also poets.
But they also don't make a ton of Eldar.
Yeah, and they were poets. They were being converted over. The Jokero, they don't fight. They just make a weapon. So you need something that just fights.
And this is why this is one of the races they actually engineered from scratch. Correct.
And it was called the Krork, K-R-O-R-K.
Whatever, baby. Mork, Gork,
Orcs all the way. They made the orcs, and they needed a warring faction.
Also, the most powerful psychers in the galaxy. Oh,
the orc episode is going to be glorious. So they unleash these back at the Cetan and the Necron.
And the orcs are effectively innumerable. It's an endless swarm.
And they were a lot bigger, too. The stories of the Krork, because the Krork were almost, 12 meters?
They're like ogres.
Yeah. So we're talking, and for those of us who live in the U.S., 12 meters is 40 feet. So a four-story building.
Giants, effectively.
Yeah, so a Gorkonaut, but it's green, you know, and it's coming there.
And it also makes other...
Yeah, it makes other orcs, and is...
Because they still populate, it's still a spore entity.
And so they unleash these things back, and all the gains and Necrons having...
Well, let's pull it back, though, because the Catan and the Necrons are wrecking.
Yeah, they're winning.
But, again, they have... Not only do they not have, they don't have any defense. I had to pause on that. I'm like, it's so hard to explain, because it's one of those things where not only do you not have, you're not even aware.
Yeah.
You don't know why you're dying. Like the guy next to you just exploded. You don't know why he exploded. Well,
but there also were orcs. So you know why he's dead, because that big green thing just smashed his head.
What I'm saying, the Eldar, the Eldar, and also, they have psychers in the orcs still.
So that's true.
They're killing their warp entity because they don't know they have a warp entity.
Yeah, and the C-10 were actually, and they call this out, were especially vulnerable to warp powers. Despite all the power they had, for some reason, warp attacks on a C-10, which again, fix this GW in 10th edition, are especially powerful.
I'm going to ruin this. So the Catan.
Yeah.
So with this, one of the big things is, and they don't do this justice in the game, the Catan in the stories are involved. I want to pause this. If you play 40K and you play Catan, you are not playing Catan.
You're not,
You were literally playing tiny shards of these beings. Why it's such a big deal that they were susceptible to the warp is they were invulnerable to any. They were taking volcano cannons to the face and going, oh, I'm sorry, were you shooting at me?
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, this is, you don't have anything that I give a shit about. And then they continue to walk in and went, oh yeah, I forgot why we lost the first time. That dude just murdered my soul. that was a bad thing.
But unfortunately, you can, with orcs and Eldar, fortunately, can start just pushing through, and they start falling back massively. The Necrons all the gains they're making. They begin losing. As Brad did said earlier, Necrons are still technically, they're almost perpetual, but in a weird way where you kill them and they teleport back to the homeworld, but you still have to be rebuilt and the war is starting to go.
It still takes resources too, because they have to make more. So they're getting pushed back. Oh God, I love the pylons.
We have to touch on the pylons because it's going to come up a lot later. The
pylons are so, oh my God.
They're so important.
Hold on, I got to psych myself up. Yeah. If you'd see me right now, I'm getting my chi together.
Yeah.
Pylons in the game are so wildly not pylons in the lore and the fluff.
Yes.
Pylons are pew pew big guns. They are not just big guns. They are technology that is beyond technology. They have worked out the math on, I need to shoot somebody in the soul.
Well, the pylons are so important because the pylons effectively turn off the warp. It's a Geller field.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a super Geller
field. I'm saying. They literally are shooting people in the soul.
You can stop the warp from existing with a pylon. The C-10 and the Necrons begin constructing these specialized pylons because they realize they can win this war as long as there is no warp.
So they have more people. Yeah. They have more everything.
Yeah,
the orcs are starting to turn the
orcs. Yeah, orcs probably
turn the head. But besides that,
you're my both love of the orcs, and we're both right. But
I mean, the orcs might have still just won this war eventually, but it would have been way longer.
Exactly. And they begin these pylons. And one of them is at Cadia. And I'm just going to say that now because it's coming up later. I'm saying it now. But these pylons, you build the pylons together, and it's almost like an invisible electric fence, and they all connect to each other.
We're not going to at least touch on this a little bit.
Yeah. I'm going to blast right through.
Okay.
I'm going to drop the word Cadia.
I mean,
and just watch people go, but I'm thirsty. You can have water later.
There's also, there's so many Imperium worlds that only exist as Imperium world because there's a bunch of Necron shit.
Yeah.
On the top of it.
Yeah. We are going to have to do an entire multiple episode on Cadia alone, not to mention all the pylons.
I would say all the Necron stuff that, like, again, the Imperium goes, we should settle here.
Actually,
this planet's super cool.
What edition did Necrons come out? Was it fifth or sixth?
It was third.
It was third edition. Yes. We had two full editions without Necrons. So this lore, just keep track of where it was coming from, everybody. Like
they were basic. They had two units, by the way.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
They had two Warriors units. And Immortals.
I mean, now, what do you play with now? But anyway.
Yeah.
So they build the pylons, and what they're coming up with the pylons is to shut down. They basically were trying to trap the warp. They're building a cage that would envelop and hold the warp in one area. And their goal was, we'll win the war everywhere else, and we're going to trap these entities within this like small area that the pylons were holding. However, they couldn't build fast enough.
And the warp does warp stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The stuff of chaos, wait a second, is chaotic.
Yeah.
But, and it, oh God, by the way, you love these guys. I hate them so much.
Are awesome. So fine, I'll do it then. So what's,
I hate these guys so much, but you know what? Screw this. I'm going to give a game reference. Enslavers used to take your units from you.
Yeah.
And then your opponent could play with your models.
Yeah, I didn't say the rules were cool. I'm just saying the model did that.
They're also dicks.
Oh, they're horrifying creatures. But Brad, we were talking earlier. The warp prior to this period is a serene ocean of flat. No one disturbs it. And even the old ones would play with it a little bit, but they are using webways to get around in it.
They are literally eco-friendly.
Here we go. Now we have our first galactic level war.
War in heaven is the first big war.
We are talking trillions, if more than trillions. I just don't know the next one up, even though my phone's in front of me and I could Google it.
Quadrillions.
Zillions, whatever, of beings killing each other. So the warp in its early stage starts getting affected. It's little movements, little things.
There's
little,
some turbulence little, in there's the warp.
And the first, and this is what actually ends up, spoiler alert, winning the war for the C-10, sort of. We'll get to that in a second. A warp entity begins appearing called the Enslavers. And this
guy sucks so much. They are called the Enslavers because, oh yeah, they dominate your mind. Fine. And they do this on a mass level.
Make it so people don't think I'm a horrible human being. The reason I like the Enslavers is that I'm a D&D person, and they remind me a lot of a Beholder. And that's kind of why I like them. The Beholder meets a
mind flare.
It's a Beholder meets a mind flare, because a little bit of both. The mind flares were always
true. They also have devastating magic attacks.
That's the thing. So you've got this like double combo of the way that they work, and so that's why I just
There's very few of them, and they start wrecking shop.
Yeah, they disappear. So this is like, and this is separate from the Cetan. The Cetan and Necrons are still having their war. And the old ones and the Eldar and the orcs are fighting back. And then these things just start appearing. And as we said earlier, there weren't a lot of old ones.
You know, wildly, and I didn't even plan on this, because why plan when you can just go off the seat of your cuff? That's not even a real phrase.
Yeah.
But also, we can edit that out at any point in time. They're just going to keep that in there.
Where I choose not to.
But this is the first race that traveled through the warp at will. Or sorry, the first race that traveled through the warp at will.
Well, the other way. That's what I'm saying. So like the old ones could travel through the warp. This is the first. Immaterium to the Materium.
The old ones traveled through their webway gates, though.
Oh, that's true. Yes, you're right. Oh, wow. That's right.
This is the first race that actually used, before demons, before anything, this is the first race, a faction of people that used the warp to travel.
And so I'm going to get, because Brad doesn't like them, so screw him, I'm doing this. What makes their powers were cool to me. So they're kind of, what they could do is they move through the warp. And they could appear anywhere, anytime. And what they would do is they would target psychers, just like we were talked about around the end of the age of technology, the dark age of technology, where the first time where psychers would just get possessed by a demon. This is happening 60 million years earlier, but it was an enslaver. And the enslaver would capture the minds of a psyker, but then they would capture them.
He would dominate them.
Well, yeah, and then they would turn them into a living warp gate. But the stories I like about this are cool. The person who's the slave has no idea. They're still like going to work or doing whatever they're doing, wandering around. And then one day they just explode and a bunch of other enslavers pop out of them and start dominating the minds of everything else. So these things are-
They are actually kind of beholders though, because they are-
That's what I say. It's more of a beholder. Yeah, and
the body, at least.
The body is more of a beholder. And
It's a beholder body, but it's a mind flayer.
It's a mind flayer, exactly. Yeah. We're both, as you guys can tell, Brad and I are both played a lot of D&D. So they begin to consume all the worlds of the old ones. And this actually leads to the old ones losing effectively, because the enslavers are drawn to the most powerful psychic entities that exist. And that would be.
They also don't have a plan for this. The enslavers are just there to F things up.
Yep.
Seriously. They're not trying to win a war. They're not trying to do anything.
They're not a conscious mind. They're not there trying to like, okay, we're going to go to this planet. We're going to
capture
this.
Yo,
it just, that looks tasty. They're following food effectively. And the food is
they're also the brain of a psychic. Terrible. They're just doing bad things to do bad things, because that's how they feed and induce things.
And one cool thing with the enslavers is they actually still exist in 41st millennium.
Correct.
And when they are found, they are a problem and they are immediately dealt with.
Like bad. And also there's some pretty good stories about this. The Imperium goes pretty harsh.
Yeah.
They go pretty hard in the paint to get rid of enslavers.
I mean, they are, because they have to send, you have to send blanks out there. There's stuff in order to remove an enslaver infestation, because as I said before, they're feeding off the minds of psychers. I'm just going to go ahead and do this. We have the Grey Knights, who were designed to fight demons, but you probably shouldn't send Grey Knights to fight enslavers.
Oh, no.
Bad idea. So you said you have to send Sisters of Silence to fight.
You need blanks.
Yeah, you blanks. So Sisters of Silence, maybe Eversors, not Eversors.
The Kalexus.
Kalexus Assassins. This is what you have to use to fight them. And while you go there, remember, they are spreading within a population. They are very, very cool.
You have no idea where they are.
Yeah, they are very, very cool. And they appear out of the warp.
Well, they're not doing anything. They're just weakening the old ones. So the old ones start to get wrecked a little bit. And here's the problem is, do the old ones die? Do the old ones leave? I don't know.
The old ones are gone suddenly.
Yeah. The old ones, are they dead? Do they get defeated? Where did they go? I don't know.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
The big thing is that the enslaver plague creates a very sudden and massive loss of life. As we discussed earlier, the Cetans were actually feeding on the deaths of the souls. But in a kind of a strange way that happens here, there's a sudden loss of life throughout the entire galaxy. Massive loss of life. that the Seatans can't take advantage of.
They get to see, they basically don't get to power up on any of the souls. And the Necrons, specifically the Silent King.
Mm-hmm.
Silent King has been, we actually need to
let's pull this back. Yeah, let's pull this back a little
bit. We need to pull this back because this isn't like this happened, this is a year of war. This is a long, drawn.
Thousands of years of war.
This is a long, crazy, drawn out process.
And the Necrons are aware they got screwed.
Yeah, they know that they've gotten the shit part of the deal. And they know that they've gotten the shit part of the deal for, I don't know, they've been talking about it for the last 500, 600, 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. We've had a long war, and they've basically gone, hey, man, I think we may have done 99% of our civilization wrong. You know, the ones where we fed the souls to those guys. Also, do we keep having to tell that guy we negotiated with that his name's the Deceiver? I feel like we might have done something wrong.
So, but the problem that Necrons do have with that is as much as they recognize the Seatans got them, went over on them, the Seatans, to your point, are immortal. They are immortal and invulnerable, sort of. So as we said before, the Seatans are a being of energy that feeds off energy. They used to eat stars. Now they're eating dead souls. And what happens suddenly is there's not a lot of dead souls. And the Seatan noticeably weaken, massively.
Effectively, the Necrons figure out, I can't kill these guys. It's like that regenerating thing that you can't deal with. Well, if he's always going to come back, what should I do? Well, how about if we break him apart and put him in 100 different jars? And just deal with that. And that is exactly what they do. I know it sounds simplistic, but that is what they do.
Yeah. I mean, and so they do that. So they break them up. So the Necrons, so this whole war is going on. The old ones disappear, effectively.
They just leave, actually. Yeah,
they disappear.
Well, we don't know.
In a second, yeah. They disappear. Eldar and Orcs are very much, or Quarks are still very much so there. And the Necrons are sitting there going, well, we could go defeat the Eldar and the Quark with a Seatan, but if we do so, we will be beholden to them.
This is literally the Germany, I could go here, but I could also attack the Russians.
Yeah, so they decide to free, well, it's different because they attacked the Russians, they were stupid. This one was actually an intelligent move. They went to go free themselves, and they attack. Yeah, they attack the Seatan.
But they take massive losses. I mean, just, again, you're attacking the guys that... Hold on. What is your weakness again? Warp psychic? What do I not have anything of?
Warp psychic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have nothing that can hurt you, but we're trying.
But we've got a lot of technology, and we're going to shoot you with the biggest guns we possibly can.
We think that we can weaken you and split you up, which is effectively what they do. They divide them, and when they divide them, they capture them. But in doing so, over thousands, I mean, probably millions of systems at this time.
And they break them apart, and the Seatan loose. The Seatan are gone now. They are turned into...
Well, they are, but they literally have enslaved the Catan. They have them shards. They have vaults that they keep them in, which is where you get vaults. 40K players, that's how you get vaults. But you literally have these shards. They've broken them up. They can't kill them. They literally cannot kill them. Mm-hmm. But they can break them up, and they move them away. They effectively go, okay, cool. You live on the other side of the galaxy than the other piece of yourself because we don't want them close together.
Those pieces can never touch. So we're going to keep them all the way over.
But in doing so, they get wrecked.
Oh, yeah.
And their civilization is effectively in tatters. And they're not sure what they're going to do. And the Silent King comes up with the brilliant yet terrible idea of... The Eldar and the, slash orcs, but mainly the Eldar at this point in time, because they are actually organized. And the orcs not exactly organized.
We're thought should, yeah.
Yeah. But the Eldar, they're like, we can't fight another war right now.
Well, the Eldar, we killed the Kitan, the Seatan, to save ourselves.
Pause again, John.
But in doing so, we lose all of the power.
Again, we're not saying that this happened again a day. The problem is that... While they're fighting the Catan War,
the Eldar are still coming.
And this is, again, hundreds/thousands. We don't actually know,
right?
To be honest with you, but it's a long time. And in this war, the Eldar have taken zero losses because they're building their entire civilization.
Actually, you know, that is, we talked about this, and I should have put it in the notes. I didn't. There are only four Catan. We're not talking about like them taking on a battle with like thousands of
Catan. Oh, no.
Four of them. And it takes them a large percentage of their
civilization
to take out four of them.
Oh, I forgot to mention that in this war, occasionally the Catan blow up worlds by leveraging stars.
Yeah, just because they could.
They Death Star, basically. So
they do this, and this episode's about the old ones. This is about the old ones' legacy, which we'll get to in a second. But right now, we've got the Necrons win. They do break up the Catan. And now you've got.
But it took you too long.
It did, but we went from a galaxy where the two most powerful creatures in the galaxy were the old ones and the Catan, and now they don't exist anymore.
True.
So now it is
old ones are gone. Yeah. You literally imprisoned all of the Catan.
We now falls back down to the lesser races. So now in the galaxy.
Ooh, that's going to hurt, Paul.
Yeah, that's true, though. The galaxy, we now have the Eldar, the Krork, Mankind.
Mankind doesn't exist at this point.
Mankind
doesn't exist. Tell her amoeba.
Yeah, actually, it's 5 million years. No, let me rephrase it. They don't exist. You know what? It just occurred to me. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent here. And I'm going to do this because it needs to be done. In the books, we talk about them seeing Mankind. This is 65 million years. The asteroid has not hit the Earth yet. There is no Mankind. There are small mammals that look like rats. That's what they have. So first off, GW.
They look like frogs.
I'm just going with, this was all written in the 80s and 90s. You could have read a book, GW. Look, sorry, and I may end up deleting this later, but that upsets me. It just occurred to me that happened.
They didn't
have to do with it.
Look, they didn't go to university.
Yes, they did. They're British. Yes, they did.
They went on literary degrees,
which involves reading.
I'm not going about history.
I know. I'm just going with they covered in the books. I've read it in the codexes where they talk about their interactions with Mankind and seeing a potential of uplifting them, and they were off by 45 million years.
I mean, give or take.
Just like
a survey, plus or minus.
Plus or minus. Yeah, your standard deviation is a little embarrassing. I may delete this, but I just occurred to me as we were talking about it, and that pissed me off. So,
well, let's go with what happens at this point. Right. Because the Necrons literally go, hooray, we won. We beat the Catan. And they went, remember those guys we were fighting with a while back?
Yeah, they're super pissed.
Yeah, they're super mad because their creator race, as far as they know, just left. And it's our fault. And, oh, yeah, we haven't touched them in somewhere between 1,000 and 1,000 years. And they've been building a lot of shit. And, oh, yeah, remember our weakness? That they have our weakness.
Yeah, they're coming for us.
And so the Necrons go, we could fight the Eldar. And the orcs.
And lose horribly.
And yeah. And the Silent King goes, or we could just hibernate and literally bury ourselves. And they do a great job of this because they have effectively stealth technology where they can mask their presence of being there. So they literally dig into the core of worlds and project. I don't even know what you want to say. They basically make a non-detection
arc. Themselves. Yeah, they teleport themselves into like the cores of the Earth.
But all these planets all over the galaxy.
And the Eldar it's kind of funny thing about the Eldar, who are an incredibly intelligent race.
And could find them just instantly psychic.
Showing up world after world going, also not here. Like, where'd these dudes go? So from there, I think we can kind of move.
They literally did a horror movie, by the way. Yeah. You know that. You know what? I refuse to move on from this. They literally went, well, he's not here. I guess everything's safe.
They're NPCs.
They got a guy got shot right next to him. Must have been the wind.
Yeah.
That guy's dead next to me. It was the wind.
It was the wind. And although the Silent King does go on a little vision quest he does leave. A couple of guys with the reanimate buttons leave. But let's move now into.
Well, the pause on this real quick. We'll go for it in the Necron episode. But everybody goes into hibernation except for the Silent King, who goes into dark space to think about the shit he did wrong.
Yeah. And discovers something.
And it is several.
Well, and he discovers something very important in that dark space that comes to him. He starts rushing back.
Yeah, he decides to reanimate at some point.
at this stage, to close out the episode, we've talked about where the old ones came from, the legacy of the old ones. This helps us get into further episodes. The first thing they did was they handed the universe over to the Eldar. The Eldar were there.
Which I think they were going to do always.
Yeah.
But they again took a poet and philosopher race and ruined them.
They were an incredibly intelligent race. Do you think they saw this all coming?
No.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Because of the fact that I think that they always were grooming the Eldar to be the race that was better than them. They wanted
so
to
it get, wasn't it wasn't a you're gonna replace me because I know I'm gonna die one day. It was the I'm gonna build you up to replace me.
And be the best version of me you could ever have been. Okay. But instead this happened, and then I made you the worst version of you you could ever be.
And then I'm gonna talk about my favorite thing.
The orcs.
The Kroark.
My bad.
They were
my bad.
The Kroarks at this point. So the fun thing about the Kroarks, and spoiler alert, this is our next episode, is going to be orcs. When you make a race that's built for only one purpose, that purpose is war and killing.
Yeah. I was going to say, you modified one race.
Yeah.
You made a race. You made them for only one thing.
And so then now you take that race, and the only thing they were genetically made to listen to is the old ones, and they're gone. This is a fun level of anarchy. So my notes here were just, wow. So the orcs now get to our current timetable, 60 million years of warfare. And yeah, they do some fun things with that. I actually put a note here for mankind, but screw them. There was no mankind. They were off by 40 million years. The warp is the next big piece that they affect.
We ruined the warp.
Yeah, it's the first time we've now, this is it.
No, this is where we got, this is where, well, one, the Eldar are by design now, from the old ones, tied to the warp. Every single Eldar effectively has, can I D&D it? I'll go get Yankee style.
I'm always doing
Everyone has effectively a tendril.
Yep.
A silver warp, you know, you go into the,
and in modern D&D,
the astral plane. But basically, every single warp, every single Eldar has a tie to the warp. They have literally, they are all tied. Their soul is tied to the warp.
Yep.
Everything that they do has an echo in the warp. And it is the first race that has this effect on the warp. And you just had a race that is now tied to the warp have a war.
Well, I think there's an important piece that it has an effect on the warp. You never have a positive effect on the warp.
You could have if you would have left them be philosophers and poets.
No, but that's the thing. I think the warp has no positive. I think the warp only feeds off negative energy. There's no poetry god.
You know what?
The warp.
Agree to disagree.
Fair enough. But that's where I look at it. But this is it. The warp has now been destabilized, and it doesn't restabilize.
We have basically started a whirlpool. A tsunami is coming, a big wave. The warp went from this ocean of serene power to a turbulent mess. And you can still draw power from it, and the Eldar do for millions of years.
I do wonder, this is a personal thing, I wonder if the warp corrupts in the sense that did the warp get a taste? So because it was just this
Are you saying that ultimate power always ultimately corrupts?
Yeah, I am. But I'm also saying that I think the warp is a living entity in a weird way, in the sense that all this war, all this death fed it, and it liked that feed. And I think the warp then created things like the enslaver. I think it creates and encourages.
Do you think the warp is ominous by itself?
I think the warp it was self-aware at this point. It became more self-aware later with the creation of Chaos Gods. It became extremely self-aware. But I think at this stage, the warp is aware enough to start feeding some of these things.
Ooh, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, sometimes you're wrong, and sometimes you're really wrong. And we will come back to this.
The last two species we should talk about are the Necrons, who are
asleep.
And
with also, like, we have to give them props. They've just won two
pretty big
galactic conflicts.
Yeah.
But we have to give them the thing on this. They have such high levels of technology, which after 65 million years have still not been reached.
Still, that's true. Yeah, they're 60. Yeah. We are 65 million years later, and they've got the best technology in the galaxy. So,
correct.
We're going to go with pretty good at this.
And also, they have the tech to just not be detected.
Yep,
that's a real thing too. They also may have slept just a little bit too long.
There's some issues, and we're going to cover the Necron episode. We're going to talk about some of the problems of they didn't mean to go 65 million years.
Yeah, they would. Like, yeah. They overshot the mark.
It's a little bit of Austin Powers reference here. As far as going a little bit long on this one. The last one here, though, and we're going to go completely non-canon.
I need to let everybody know that John has wrote Tyranids with 5 question marks, and that is not enough question marks.
Yes. Followed by Brad with a lot of dots. So
we're going to close on this.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, the old ones are literally the overmind, the hive mind.
There we go.
Screw you. I'm standing on
that. I'm not even going to go into details on that. You all can understand where we're going from this one, and we're going to be discussing a lot more of this in the future. So with that, our next episodes, plural, unknown how many, we're going to start recording them, and then they just will stop when we're done, are going to be the orcs. And the very simple reason behind this is that Brad and I have two favorite factions between the two of us, Eldar and orcs. We actually both love both of them. We both play Eldar. We both play orcs.
I'm ending on a wog.
Yeah, but orcs are more fun. So we've decided we're doing this. So with that, thank you all for joining us. Again, please like and subscribe and join us on Discord and Facebook. I'm John Barsotti. This is Brad Chester.
This guy.
Have a wonderful day.